So, podcast news today. Apple announced that they are going to be looking for some exclusivity deals when it comes to purchasing some podcasts going forward.
Just fix your fucking UI.
Yeah, they're working on that too. I don't know. It's kind of older news now, but audio dramas are getting their own section on Apple. And they're redoing some of the categories, so it makes a little bit more sense now. You can actually search fiction. They have sci-fi, drama, and another topic, which I'm blanking on now. But yeah, you can search fiction. So anyway, Spotify is kind of like pressuring Apple based on all of the big moves that they're making, you know, purchasing Anchor and Gimlet Media. So Apple needs to compete by, you know, stepping up their game, both with the UI and keeping people on the product, as well as having some exclusivity deals with podcasts so that they can have an attractive draw for people to go to now. I don't think Apple Podcasts is really like a big contender when it comes to people's preference for podcasts. It's definitely huge when it comes to the actual store because most apps pull from Apple Podcasts. But we were talking about it today that, you know, Apple kind of has two different routes they can go with this. One of them would be pulling the ability for other apps to grab feeds from their database, which would be huge. I don't think they're going to do it, but it could be huge.
Very nice. How much?
Yeah, that's the one thing that Apple has, I guess, on Spotify. Well, not even, because you can have the free version of Spotify. You just suffer with additional ads.
They don't actually put ads in podcasts.
Yes, they don't.
You can listen to all the episodes straight through without.
I told my cousin that the other day. He's like, "Oh shit, really?"
Oh yeah. So fuck Apple then.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Spotify should start putting ads in between the episodes, but that's going to be controversial, and who knows, you know.
Insert Apple. Just emailed Gus and wants to purchase How I Died for $1 million.
$1 million.
What's going on, everybody? My name is AK the Extraordinaire, and today we are back for another episode of the Plotcast. And I'm here with my two co-hosts, Grumpy Gus and Ori. Say hi to the people, boys.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on, everybody?
Hello, and welcome to the Plotcast. I'm your host, Very Calm Gus.
Very Calm Gus. Great to have you.
Sound more like Dweeb Gus.
Dweeb Gus.
Nerds!
It's great to be here.
Hey, do me a favor and
we have Gusse and Ori.
Hello.
What's up?
I'm here.
Yeah, it's good. Usually around this time you cut out, so it's really good to have you.
What?
Thanks for sticking around this time, Ori.
New mic, y'all.
This is Zen Gus.
Zen Gus. I'm going to do the entire episode like this.
Why?
I would actually be pretty surprised about that.
Yeah, I don't think you could do it.
No, you know what? I think he can. I think on this very special episode of the Plotcast, Gus will be able to pull that off.
You think so?
And you know why? Because today, I think we'll have a universal opinion on this show. Unanimous opinion on this
universal
show.
Universal
Studios presents.
Boom.
No, you can't say that, Gus.
He can, because
he
today,
also just failed. He did his regular voice.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ori.
In editing, he won't have his regular voice.
Oh, that's a cheap move.
It's all about late game. Late game, late game.
Anything is possible.
So while we have Ori picking Gus apart, and we have Gus being Zen, today, everybody, we're talking about This Sounds Serious, Season 2.
It sounds very serious.
It does. And Gus does sound serious. You also sound very zen. So, with that being said, let's get right into it. Ori, in true Plotcast fashion, take it away with the plot. What's going on?
In Season 2 of This Sounds Serious, we follow our best friend and investigative podcaster, Gwen Radford, a 911 obsessed investigative podcaster that is following two stories that she believes are directly connected, and she wants to find out what happened between a missing woman and a hostage situation in a bank 5 hours away. Is that good?
More or less, yeah.
Do I have to try again? Because I think I did better than I usually do.
No, you definitely did better. You could just elaborate more.
Yeah, we just want to know about the two cases.
Okay, so one case is this guy...
No. Do it the other way around. There you go.
Okay, one case is Melissa, and she is missing. She went missing. She constantly goes missing. It's like her thing, but she usually comes back.
Miss Lissa?
Miss Lissa.
Yeah, Miss Lissa. They have a bunch of different nicknames for her and all that stuff.
Very funny.
Yeah. I thought of one earlier, but I can't remember it because my little sister's name is Melissa, so I had a bunch of different random names for her growing up. And then the other one is Jimmy Klein.
There's Mel Lissing.
Yes. Yeah, that's the first one, good. I think. Jimmy Klein is a little bit of a loon. Nice guy. He has a hostage situation in a bank in this spot in Oregon, and he's like really all over the place on his 911 phone call. This is what really piqued Gwen's interest, and he's, you know, I got a gun, I got a big gun, and I will fill somebody full of bullets. And then, you know, he is like really easy to work with, even though this officer that's talking to him has like no training. And it kind of switches back between what happened with Melissa and what's happening with Jimmy. And yeah, then the story kind of unfolds and Gwen and her producer are, you know, trying to figure stuff out and getting into trouble and talking to people.
I love you, Ori, so much. You always include the small details.
He does.
The reason that the two cases are connected is because while Jimmy was on the phone on the 911 call, he told the operator or the police, it was one of the two, that they need to arrest the mayor, aka his mother, because the mayor had murdered his girlfriend Melissa Turner. And that's how the two connect.
See, for some reason I didn't want to say that, even though it's in the first episode or second episode. First episode. I was trying not to do any spoilers, man. I was doing really good.
If anything, the mayor being the mother is more of a spoiler than him saying that Melissa is dead.
Mm, Because
they don't say that the mom is the mayor till the last moment of episode one.
Yeah.
Wow, AKA, way to go.
And so, and thus, our story begins.
Hi, Gwen. It's Jimmy Klein. You know, remember me? We talked on the phone. You came to jail. You visited me. I flexed for you. You're doing a documentary. Do you remember?
Dude, Jimmy Klein.
Yeah, he's like this feeble, geeky little man. And then...
Oh, I love it. I am really ripped now.
Yeah. It was... Okay, so I want to talk about the... So I liked the story actually better in this one. But the funny season one, like Floridian crazy people trope, you really can't beat it because it's hilarious and it's true because people in Florida are absolutely nuts.
I definitely think season one had much more like in your face comedy. I mean, with the
like laugh out loud moments.
Yeah. Like the trips they went down when they talked about Chuck, you know, like with the not being able to say thunder on the news. Fantastic. And like that kind of stuff wasn't included as much in season two. It was much more subtle humor. There were like little lines that would make you laugh and things here and there that would just be like it would take you a second because they just kind of breeze by it so quickly and then you would chuckle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking of a couple like when Melissa from a past video from like a TV station or something, she's about to go on the air to be interviewed about being the most missing person, and they say, "Come on out, Melissa Turner," and then it like hangs for a second because you know that she's not going to show up.
Yeah.
Baker, America's most missing person. At just 19 years of age, she's already gone missing 10 times.
In 2008, her parents, Bruce and Tracy, were guests on Idaho Today, a daytime talk show in Boise.
Bruce and Tracy as our guests today. Can you tell me a time that you were really concerned for her safety when she was gone?
Well, the hike.
Oh, yeah, last year. She decided to take our dog for a hike over by Highway 51. It's real rough terrain out there. And somehow she got lost in the hills. She couldn't find her way back to the car, couldn't get a cell signal. We reported her missing that night. She was out there 5 days before they found her. But she was okay. She survived the whole time just by eating Skittles.
The candy, not our dog.
Yeah, our dog is also named Skittles. No, he's fine. No, and she was fine too. No big deal.
So you don't think it's a big deal that your teenage daughter went missing for 5 days? Well, we'll see what she has to say about that. Melissa Turner, come on out. Melissa?
Melissa Bear?
But I'm concerned with Melissa's most recent disappearance.
That was funny.
And then it just keeps going, and like Gwen cuts in with her commentary, and they don't address it, but after you listen to it, you like laugh to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it struck a really nice balance because you're not exploding with laughter and missing any of the story. It's just kind of like little humorous note.
Yeah, it was a bit more clever this time around.
Yeah, definitely more clever humor. However, I think it could have been turned up a notch just to make it a little bit more reminiscent of season one. I would have liked a little bit more humor through this, but I think the trade-off is that the mystery in this season, phenomenal. Much, much better than the mystery in season one.
Yeah, it was a lot less predictable with some things. And I'm not saying season one was predictable, but, you know, it was less predictable. There was something...
It was kind of predictable.
Yeah, okay. So, some things in season one were fairly predictable in comparison to what happened in this season two.
Season one focused a lot more on the character building. We got to know Daniel and...
Yeah.
And, you know, like Chuck's lives a lot more, whereas with this one, it was much more focused on the story and the plot points going forward. So we didn't really get a ton that wasn't completely pertinent to the plot.
I agree with that.
Word up.
Word up. There was one thing that did bother me, though. I did not like that Melissa always went missing. And Jimmy always had a hostage situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you like that?
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny, too.
Talking about it, that's hilarious.
I don't know. I just thought it was like, really? You couldn't do anything else? They both had to do something all the time since birth?
Oh, I don't know. It kind of fit the characters for me. Like, they were...
He's been holding people hostage since he was a kid. We thought it was cute, so we kind of... pushed him and encouraged it. Like, really? Why would you encourage that? That's really bad. But okay.
Jimmy's hostage situation thing, absolutely hilarious.
It is. And the way he handles it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, they said he never brought a weapon before. He's just kind of like, everybody's, you're under, you're being held hostage.
They just go about their business.
Yeah. And then later on, when they list all of the places that he's not allowed to go because of the restraining order after his parole, they list the bank, the library, the ice cream truck,
yeah, basically,
or whatever.
Almost like, the entire town.
It's so funny. And he, like, later on when Gwen tries to call him and he changes the voicemail, and he says, like, if you're that person, I can't talk to you right now, but if you're the library calling, I've been trying to return that book, but I can't get within 50 feet of you, and it's just posing so much of a problem.
Yeah, they handled that well.
I wish the bank hostage situation was a little bit longer.
I think it had a good length.
I felt like that was going to be, like, a really big focus of the show, and it kind of just, you know, happened in one episode. So for me, that was a little disappointing.
It came back to it, but I thought it was a good length. For the hostage, I mean, for how he handled it, was 36 hours long. So, yeah, I guess, like, show-wise, it could have been a little bit longer and it really wouldn't have affected anything. We just would have had more kind of funny moments from that. But the way he handled it and like just easily kind of gave hostages up for really small things. Like that was so funny. Oh yeah, we want a pizza. Yeah, that's gonna cost you 3 hostages.
Yeah, they used them like currency.
And he was like, okay, sounds fair.
And then as soon as he actually told people that he's holding them hostage, a few people just walked out. And then he's like, hey, guy, go lock the door. And that guy just walked out too. So that was funny.
I think episode 1 was really, really funny. And that's kind of what set up that expectation for me, that we'd have more laugh out loud jokes throughout it. And I think that might be where the little bit of a disconnect came from is what.
See, I, and you know what, this is on me. Season 1, they focused around the 911 call, and at the very end, they wrap back to it. But in season 2, that wasn't the case. While they referenced back to it at points in time, you really organically began to sift through the mystery. And at the end, that conclusion didn't really come from the 911 call itself. It helped, but it wasn't, I would say, the focal point, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on me. That was an expectation I had going into it. And then, you know, new season, you can't really have any of those expectations.
I feel like it's just hard to compete with season 1. Like, season 1 was so good. It was probably one of the best podcasts, like, in my top 5, in all honesty. And, like,
ooh.
And like listening to this season 2, don't get me wrong, the mystery of season 2, exponentially better than mystery in season 1.
That's a spicy meatball.
It was a very good story, and it propelled it forward, and it felt organic and all that stuff. It's just really hard to beat Daniel and to beat the premise and the twist of season 1, I think.
It's hard.
You mean Chuck?
No, I mean Daniel. You fucking fuck.
What's it called? Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
But before we get into spoiler time, I did talk to the This Sounds Serious people on Twitter today. They said that they are actually trying to turn around seasons much faster now that they know that, you know, the formula, they know the popularity of the show from season 1. Season 1 to season 2 was a year gap in between.
Are they going to keep Gwen?
Yeah, Gwen's the main host for all of them, yeah.
I love Gwen so much. I love her so much.
So they are actually trying to have season 3 out before the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
That is very exciting. These are some of my favorite podcasts.
Yep, it looks like they're going to be going to about 6 months production time or less.
I love comedy. Like, there's always something, you know, good about it. Like, a good horror, you know, anything action-y and all that stuff, but comedy is just, AK likes to say it's his thing, but really it's more my thing, you know.
Fuck you, Ori.
That wasn't funny at all.
As much as I'm making a murder mystery drama podcast, like, it feels like the comedy side of it, especially the true crime mock-you podcast or whatever the fuck we decided to call it.
Mock-you
like
podcast.
It encompasses everything, and I think it's such a great mix because you have the mystery, you have the true crime, quote-unquote, elements, you have the comedy in it. And I love that genre, and I posted it out on Audium's Twitter today. Like, we need to find more shows like this because they're so good. They're so funny.
And they continue episode after episode to have a fantastic finish every time. Every time. It's so good.
That's the trope of true crime podcasts, is that it needs to have a great ending twist, and like, they are making them fictionalized so they can do that.
I was gonna make a joke, but it really fell on deaf ears.
Spoiler time.
We'll go into spoiler time.
Spoiler time. Spoiler time. If you don't want to hear it, pause this now.
Pause it. Don't go any further. No, no. Don't you? Oh well, fine. You did it, idiot.
As my friends like to call me, or my work friends like to call me, they call me like the awkward smooth guy.
The awkward smooth guy. Hey,
who tries to say smooth things, but it comes off incredibly not awkward. No, it's not awkward is the wrong word, but it just it comes off like I'll like trip over myself and I'll just be like you know, but it's just me, so I play it off. I don't know. Anyway, spoiler time.
Okay. Wait. That's why I started laughing right there, is because you just said, like, you try to be smooth, and then you just ate that sentence, like, instead of speaking.
Anyway, the one thing I really loved about season two, and I think this is because I've been watching Stranger Things season three, so Gus, unfortunately, going to give a small spoiler about...
Whoa! Hold on. I'm gonna take my headphones off. Somebody let me know when it's okay to come back.
It's really not a big spoiler, but the reason I love season two is because I really love, like, this potential, small town corruption, you know, the mayor is corrupted and that kind of stuff. That really gets me going. I love that idea.
Oh, is it safe to come back?
Yeah, it's safe to come back. Yeah.
He didn't even say any spoilers. He's just an idiot. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so that's really why I loved Rhoda Day. I thought it was hilarious that I loved that the town was called Tom Day.
Yeah, and that one third of the population is apparently related to the Day family.
Yeah. Yeah, no, one population. Yeah, it was basically just all about, like, all Gwen meets are, I believe, descendants of Tom Day. And everywhere she goes. I just wish there was a little bit more, maybe, following or, you know, being shaken up by a day. You know, the only points that we had was Rhoda Day intimidating and threatening Gwen. And then I believe at the hotel that she was at, she was kicked out. And then they were like, I was supposed to throw this rock through your car window.
She was like, but it wasn't there. Very funny. I agree with you, though. I think, I think this is, again, I think this is the point of this season, is that we as listeners have this idea of what makes a true crime podcast or a fictional true crime podcast, where, like, the host gets threatened and, like, bad things happen and the mystery is all about lying and deceit and all this kind of stuff, and, like, everybody kills everybody. And then you get into this show and it goes back to what Gwen's message is, like, it's not always like that, and you misjudge people, and, like, she misjudged Rhoda and thought the worst of all of them. And, you know, she even brings up the tape where Rhoda, you know, like, welcomed her and everything, and then she says, you know, maybe I was reading too much into all of the little signs and things that they were mentioning. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
Boys, quick question. Did you like the cult more, or did you like the scent community more?
I thought the scent community was pretty funny.
What cult?
The cult in season one.
Oh. No, the scent community for sure.
I love the scent community. What was the douchebag's name? Was it Rodney? Maybe it all goes back to, like, the true crime podcast, is they made a connection to Rodney Ridge. That was part of her theories, is that Rodney Ridge was part of, like, this evil conspiracy to kill Melissa Turner, and then it was just a dead end. So I felt disappointed. Is that the point? Am I just being a dick?
I think that's the point, yeah.
So I'm just being a dick?
No, I don't know. I feel like that is the point of the show, is, like, we as listeners feed off of this stuff and think about the different theories and all that.
What did you guys think of Sniffin' Jim's, his nickname for his scent?
I thought it was funny that he had a YouTube channel, and it sounded like a YouTube channel. It sounded so good.
It did.
And I
all the videos they played were really authentic.
I could picture watching this on YouTube and being like, what the actual fuck? I haven't YouTubed it yet, but I am very curious if there is a scent community.
I hope there isn't, because it's even funnier.
There probably is, just to sadden
there
your...
Probably
I
is.
Bet there is. There's a community for everything.
I really liked that, though. I thought they played that part up really well, and, like, it gives you this whole, like, satirical, weird look into, like, this is what somebody does, and this shit is real, but we're also making fun of it by the fact that it's fucking incense.
It was amazing. That was easily my favorite part of the show.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it so much.
I mean, it was funny, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite part of the show.
I also love how they made fun of the private prison system, and the warden was just, like, this super nice guy, and they basically just chilled in jail, and they were good people.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the podcasting stuff and all that stuff was kind of one of my favorite parts of the show. Like,
that was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
What was it called? It was something meat. Oh, fresh meat? Fresh meat. It was just a podcast about prisoners for prisoners.
And Jimmy got all the lingo wrong.
Right. And they were, it was basically to break down prison lingo, and he got it all wrong. It was hilarious.
There, like I said, there were a lot of really funny moments in here that, like, just you, they make you think about it, and then it hits you a second later, and you're like, wow, really? That's hilarious.
It was so good. But basically, over the course of the podcast, Gwen essentially makes these conclusions that Jimmy and Rhoda are Melissa's killers. Is that safe to say? And so in episode 9, Jimmy calls Gwen.
I don't think there is even an episode 9.
No, there's not.
I'm thinking as if it was 10. In episode 7, Jimmy calls Gwen. He's in another hostage situation where he's holding up a hardware store.
He actually has the manager of the hardware store call Gwen for him.
Yeah. And, you know.
And she calls him back.
Yeah, she calls him back. She calls Carl, the manager, back. And basically Jimmy says that, more or less, that Melissa is dead and that she is in the barrels in the back of the mayor's yard. And then I guess he gets frazzled and then he shoots himself with a nail gun, which I thought was really funny. I actually thought for a second that he had shot somebody. And I was like, oh shit, this is getting really serious right now.
I thought somebody shot him because he started doing his little squealing. His squealing was freaking comical, dude. It was so funny. It was weird, but it was funny. I laughed a lot at that one.
So
one of my favorite parts towards the ending was all of the preparation that they did for this heist and breaking in to, like, see what was inside the barrels. It literally was like 10 minutes out of a 20-minute episode where they were, like, listening to the barrel opening YouTube videos and calling the hardware guy and, like, practicing. And David, the producer, was just like, I can't see you from over there. I think this is a good distance. And then she's like, sweet. She goes, sweet. And he's like, I can't hear you, though. Like, no.
The how to open barrels YouTube videos were so funny.
They were
so funny. How to open a plastic blue barrel, part one.
I think for promotion of this show, they should put out fake YouTube videos about this stuff. It would be hilarious.
That would be smart. That would be hilarious. So did anybody look up if all barrels really do have bungholes? Is that a thing?
They do. They do. Yeah, it's a thing.
That's a thing?
It is a thing.
That shit is fucking hilarious, though.
I learned it from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that episode.
The barrel episode.
Oh, that was... I loved that episode. That was great. Oh.
Basically, to get back to the show, so Dave and Gwen go to the mayor's house late at night because earlier in the day, the mayor calls Gwen to apologize for her previously threatening antics towards her and says that she wants to invite her to dinner, which I thought was pretty nice. It sounded pretty chill. It sounded like a good place to go to dinner.
And die.
I really thought that she was going to go to dinner and that the mayor was going to not kill her, but like
attempt
do some threatening stuff, but I was let down.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. But no, that didn't happen to be the case. So for whatever reason, Gwen and Dave find this 15-minute period of time where they can go, where the mayor will be at the restaurant, and then they can go in the backyard, open the barrel, and find out what happens. So they do that. They open up the barrel, and Gwen has this whole inner monologue of, is this right? Is she prepared to, you know, potentially see what she may see, which is Melissa's dead body, blah, blah, blah. She opens up the barrel. Dave says that it's just clothes. She's like, oh, what the fuck? And then end the episode on national TV, apparently Jimmy had confessed to the murder of Melissa Turner. And that leads us to the conclusion, or going into the conclusion. Episode 10 is a fucking gold mine.
Episode 8, fucking fuck.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm so used to the 10-episode format. Episode 8 is a fucking gold mine.
I love that Gwen's big revelation, you literally just said, and blah, blah, blah.
Oh yeah, it's I honestly just wanted to know what was in the barrels. I was so convinced.
That's the whole point, though. That's what I'm saying about this whole season. So I'm just a dick. They're making fun of the listeners, yeah.
So I'm a dick.
But, oh, what you said about the fake, or the coercion into the, confession? Very, very funny part, because they start trying to confuse. Well, you did a little bit, because he confessed on there.
Yeah, he did.
The police start trying to, trick Jimmy into confessing and their recorded video, and so one of them starts trying to get him to sing lyrics to a song just to like mess with him a little bit, and Jimmy's just like, I don't know this song, and he's like, come on Jimmy, what's the next line, come on. I don't know the line. And then they get it towards the end and they're like, did you love Melissa? And he's like, yeah, of course. And then he's like, do you love her enough to kill her? And he's like, I guess, yeah. And then they're like, ah, we got him. It's so funny. That was another highlight, because it just reminded me of like Making a Murderer and all that stuff that's been in the news recently with police.
Right. That's all we need, folks. That's all we need. We got him.
Yep.
I liked when Gwen sent the t-shirt that she found in the barrel to the DNA analysis lady.
So funny. And the big ass pause before they tell you what actually happened.
Yeah, I think it's in my purse. It's in my room. Oh no,
that was an absolute gold mine and I loved it.
It was a good part
so
too,
much.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I actually loved Melissa's grocery store coworker. He was amazing.
Oh, he was great. Yeah. The gift card thing was hilarious.
Yeah, the gift card thing was amazing.
That's $1,000 at Applebee's. You could be on the road for years. Just traveling Applebee to Applebee's.
$20 platters, man. Those things will last you at least half a day.
Oh yeah. He goes, did you see the calories on that menu?
She eating good.
Yeah. He was really good too. See, that's what I think was missing potentially from the mid section, I think, is where it started to lull for me. We lost a lot of the humor points in favor of the progression of the plot, and then the humor kind of picked back up again towards the end.
Yeah, no, I guess.
I guess like 5 and 6 get. I guess they, you know, they sounded a little bit more serious, but they did.
But I liked them.
Yeah, of course, I liked every episode. I mean, 8 episodes in total. Eight episodes in total and about 25 minutes each, they're flawless. I thought they were great.
They were fantastic.
Like, I want another season right now.
Well, you're in luck, because I just got some news earlier from you that they're going to be trying to put it out before the end of the year. Aren't you excited?
You're a fucking dick, Rory.
Yeah, but at least I'm funny.
So basically, the conclusion, more or less, before we get into the real conclusion of episode 8, is that Jimmy is going to stand trial for the murder. His mother, Rhoda Day, the mayor, her campaign is in shambles. Everyone's asking her to step down from being the mayor. And that more or less these two people's lives are falling apart as we speak.
And then?
Only to find out that Melissa Turner is not dead.
Da-na-na.
And that was the big twist reveal. Is that more or less she set up Jimmy and then disappeared forever, as she stated in her diary earlier in the season.
Yep.
And that she's just somewhere out there in Cincinnati.
What did she say again? Was it pigs fly or something else fly?
Penguins.
Oh, yeah. Penguins. Not all penguins fly, but this one does, and it can go anywhere it wants.
Yep. So they eventually get news of a lady that buys the same weird things at a gas station later on. And I wanted to know why she bought those in all the gas stations, but they never explain it.
Dude,
and then
the cuckoo
she opens
and
cray-cray
parts were mad funny.
I didn't think those were funny. That was a miss for me.
The gas station bit in episode 1?
Nah.
It
was just okay.
I loved it. It was so funny.
I thought the things she got from the gas station were funnier, because like I've done that before.
Oh, like gotten like an assortment
got,
of
she
random
got a,
things.
Yeah. I used to play this game with an ex where we went into a grocery store and we had to find the combination of 3 items that would be the weirdest to check out with. So you would go throughout the store, you'd have like 15 minutes and you'd have to come back up to the front, and whoever could make the checkout person the most uncomfortable with the three things. One.
So I just want to let you guys know that I was a little disappointed by this ending.
Oh, so was I.
A little disappointed with the ending. I mean, especially because we had such a great ending in season one. Like, absolutely fantastic, top tier, one of the most memorable moments of the year so far for me. And this one just...
And it sticks with you from season one. That's the important thing. It stuck with you. You'll never forget that.
This one just really lacked in comparison, and I was just really disappointed. So...
Yeah, I wish it could have played out way differently and been just as good as season one. Because, like we were talking about earlier, the mystery is there. The comedy's a little bit more clever and low-key, still some good laughing points. But, like, the mystery was, I think, better. But the ending, you guys are right. I agree with that one there. It fell off compared to...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay, though, because overall, it was... awesome.
And season three is coming out by the end of this year.
Maybe. This maybe. Emphasis on maybe. Oh,
this Sounds Serious maybe. Just continues to just make Deliver. Me so happy and so engaged.
The funny thing is that in the tweet that they told me that it might be coming out, they did the maybe joke from the police officer.
Oh, yeah.
They said, like, season three may be coming out before the end of the year. They went, maybe. I said, maybe.
they're on point with their funny.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good show. I loved it. I want another season. I want more of this. I want it to be a recurring podcast that doesn't stop, because I just need to listen to more of this.
It is. And it's short and digestible and memorable, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun time. It's a really fun time. The supporting cast is amazing, but Gwen herself is fantastic. I love her. I love you so much.
The other cool thing about this is that because they are independent seasons, sort of like Serial and other things like that, you could just jump around too. Like, when season three comes out, if season three is really, really good, you could tell somebody, like, listen, season three first, or season one and then three and then two. And, you know, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you can do whatever. So, you know, your expectations can be all over the place, or they can be non-existent at all. So do you guys have any last minute thoughts? I pretty much summed up everything.
How would you do the ending? Ooh. Oh, wait. Last minute thought. The ending song was pretty funny. The fact that it was talking about how Jimmy and Rhoda killed Melissa and threw her in the quarry.
Yeah.
And they were like, sorry, we paid him ahead of time.
Yeah. And then she said something else like halfway through the song. It was like, yeah, he really went off the rails.
He
really got into it there.
But how would you do the ending?
I don't know. I kind of feel like it would be reminiscent of season one, something similar.
You would do a mistaken identity type thing?
Oh, no. I just want her to reveal herself in song.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
To me, this is very reminiscent of Arden, and so I'm not a huge fan of, like, the whole she just kind of disappeared and is alive elsewhere thing.
But she's there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I would have done it.
I think it'll be cool if they revisit Melissa. They have the opportunity to, and I think it would be really...
I don't think they're going to, because they could have done it with Daniel, and it would have been probably a stronger one to revisit.
I don't think you could do it with Daniel, because Chuck would be... what's it called? He would be...
In jail.
Yeah, he'd be in jail. I mean, yeah. To be fair, Melissa should be in jail too if they do revisit her, because she basically is ruining Jimmy's life.
What if they did like a small like bonus side episode with Jimmy and Chuck in the same prison?
See, now what I want to go do is listen to the outro song of season one again, just because of how like mind-blowing it was.
It was amazing. Thank you, This Sounds Serious, for just making this year... amazing.
Yeah, well done. That's not sarcastic. I know it sounded like it could have been, but I meant it.
I'm gonna listen to season one again tomorrow at work.
Okay, so Gus is gonna go listen to season one. But with that being said, my name is AK the Extraordinaire, and we will catch you guys next week.
Peace out.
Oh, hello there. I guess since you're here and we've stopped talking, that means the episode is over, and I should probably start doing the outro. The Plotcast was brought to you by us. Seriously. We don't have an advertiser, and we've been working hard to kind of keep it ad-free and to not have to sell you guys any Bomba socks or a website you don't really need. So if you could do us a favor, just share this show with someone who you think would enjoy it. Or go check out one of our other shows, such as How I Died, a murder mystery audio drama that we've been working on for a really long time. Or leave us a review on iTunes and all that good stuff. Now it's time for the credits. Our intro and outro music is from Nishkam Joshi on SoundCloud. And special thanks to our buddy Silent Mike Music for putting together our Spoiler Time song with lyrics from Shayna Waring. Check him out at silentmikemusic.com. And I think that's it. Cool. Thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed the Plotcast.